here's a story from The World.
A ceasefire between Israel and Hamas put a stop to nearly 2 weeks of fighting that killed more than 250 people, most of them in the Gaza Strip. Palestinian militants launched several thousand rockets at Israel. Officials there say the Iron Dome defense system intercepted the vast majority of them. In Gaza, the picture is very different. Hundreds of Israeli air raids and artillery strikes caused a lot of devastation. Apart from those killed and injured, thousands of Gazans are now homeless, with many taking shelter in schools. The World's Shirin Jafari reports on the road ahead for reconstruction in Gaza.
Earlier this week, Gaza resident Rana Wahba got a call in the middle of the night.
Somebody called my family and to get away from my home.
It was a neighbor relaying a warning he had just received. "Leave now. Your home is about to be bombed," he told her. Wahba scooped up her four-year-old son and ran outside.
I get away from my home with my family, and after that, a rocket fell in the home.
"Thank God," she tells me. "Thank God I was able to save my child." The next day, Wahba went to survey the damage. Her house was now a pile of rubble.
"I cannot describe my feel, really. I am homeless. I work hard with my husband to build this house. I have no mirrors in this house."
Wahba is expecting her second child. Now her family is forced to move in with her parents. According to Gaza's Ministry of Public Works, 1,800 homes have been damaged. Militant groups Hamas and Islamic Jihad fired several thousand rockets at Israel, too. They killed at least a dozen people and left property damage. Now people on both sides are mourning lost loved ones and starting to think about rebuilding. For Gazans, though, the challenges are daunting. First, the extent of the damage is far greater, but also...
"There's been a 14-year blockade on Gaza by Israel and, I must say, by Egypt as well. There are only three entry points into Gaza that are operable."
Michael Link is the UN Special Rapporteur for Human Rights in the Palestinian Territories.
"Israel controls virtually everything that enters into Gaza and enters, and also controls who enters into Gaza. And as well, it controls who and what leaves Gaza as well in terms of export goods."
Importing construction material, for example, requires a special permission from the Israeli military. Link says there is a long list of goods that are considered to be dual use, meaning they could be used for peaceful purposes like building a house, or they could be used by Hamas to construct underground tunnels.
"So the ability to be able to import the kind of essential construction materials, including, you know, cement, including piping, including machinery, and particularly power generators, is always subject to exceptional scrutiny by Israel."
"Or it's just not allowed in," he says. Israel imposed the blockade on Gaza in 2007, after Hamas took control of the territory. The Israelis say that Hamas, a designated terrorist group, poses a grave security risk, and therefore the blockade is necessary. But the humanitarian toll of the blockade has been devastating, says Yara Asi, scholar at the University of Central Florida. And that goes back even before this latest round of fighting.
"The situation is really dire. You had up to 50% unemployment. You had over 2/3 of the population food insecure. Most of the accessible water is not drinkable due to pollution and due to lack of water treatment.
Electricity is limited. The sewage system is not functioning," she says. The list goes on. About 2 million people live in the Gaza Strip, a sliver of land about the size of Manhattan. Israel doesn't just control Gaza's land borders. It also controls its airspace and access to the Mediterranean Sea. Here's Michael Link again.
"I cannot think of another place in the world where there are so many people, in this case 2 million people, who are penned up behind a fence and cannot freely travel to the outside world. Name me another comparable situation. I can't think of one."
Link and others describe the blockade as collective punishment. They say civilians are paying the price for the actions of their leaders, and Palestinians have not been able to vote in a national election since 2006. Israel does let humanitarian aid into Gaza. Omar Shaban, an economist there, says the territory has been through four wars in recent years. The last one was in 2014.
"And the donors' country have spent billion of dollars to rehabilitate what was destroyed in 2014. Now, what was reconstructed in 2014 has been demolished in this war. So all the time I say, and I say through you, your radio, that we need to get out of this cycle of construction and destruction, construction and destruction.
This time, Shaban worries that donor nations will be less generous because they're dealing with the economic fallout from the coronavirus pandemic. The full extent of the damage in Gaza is not clear yet, but it appears to be extensive. Egypt and Qatar have pledged donations. President Biden says the U.S. will do its part. Yara Asi, the scholar in Florida, says the destruction in Gaza is not just a Palestinian issue.
A lot of the destruction is donor-funded buildings and structures. And so in a way, it's us that are paying for it, either through tax dollars to our governments that they in turn use as foreign aid or through direct donations.
Meanwhile, Rana Wahba, the woman who lost her home in Gaza, says it's hard to know how long it will take to rebuild.
How? It's very hard. It's very hard to build it again.
Her family lived in that house for 5 years. Maybe, she says, it will end up like dozens of other buildings in Gaza that remain in ruins. For The World, I'm Shirin Jafari.